You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Amen. This is Pastor Cochran. We want to take this opportunity to thank you for tuning in to the podcast this week. Also want to ask that if it has been a blessing to you, that you would take some time and notify someone of the podcast. Let somebody else know about the word that is being spoken, and invite them to join in and listen to our podcast. Again, we are thankful for each and every person that tunes in with us to listen to the word of God, to be empowered. And it's my prayer, my desire that something will be said or spoken that will help you to be productive in every aspect of your life, because that's our vision at A Place of Refuge, is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of their life. And so again, I welcome you to this podcast message, in which I'm going to be dealing with a very powerful subject, one that I feel is very needful in the body of Christ. And it is also a subject that is often, when it's taught, it's not taught correctly. It's misunderstood by many people, even to the point of can be abused by a lot of saints, and they can do things for the wrong reason. But anytime we attempt to seek God or cry out to God, we want to do so according to his word. We want to seek God in the manner that he would have us to do so, so that we can get the results that he desires for us to have. And so again, on this podcast, I'm going to deal with fasting, the biblical principle of fasting. And I know some may be saying, oh wow, yeah, that's right, we're gonna deal with fasting, because I have fasted for a number of years, and I find it to be very powerful, something that can produce great results and can just cause a person, if you will, to just enter into a closer and deeper connection with God. And so again, I want to take a look at the book of Matthew and the sixth chapter, and something that Jesus was speaking, and he was talking to his disciples. Of course, a disciple is a adherent follower of Christ, or someone who strives to obey the teachings of Jesus. And so here's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says to them, moreover, he says, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. And I'm reading out the New King James Version. Notice what he says about the hypocrite. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly or truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. Notice the Father is in the secret place. And notice that from the secret place, he says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Notice that. But notice something very important. Jesus did not say to his disciples, if you fast. He said to them, when you fast. So Jesus anticipated that when he would go back to be with the Father, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, that his disciples would fast. I want you to hear that again. Jesus himself said about his disciples that they will fast. Notice he says it twice. He said, moreover, when you fast. Not if, but when you fast. Again, in verse 17, he said, but you, when you fast. Again, it is so important, so crucial, so essential that as Christians, as believers, that we understand the principle of fasting, so that when we fast, we can get the results that Jesus said we would get. Notice, before I deal with the hypocrites, notice what Jesus said about the believer, that when we fast, he says that we are not to appear to men to be fasting. So when you're fasting, you're not fasting that you might get man's attention, but you are fasting to get the Father's attention, because the Father who is in the secret place will see in secret and will reward you openly. Did you hear that? When you fast and you fast right, God will reward you in the open. A reward simply has to do with a blessing. God will bless his people when they seek after him. God will pour out a blessing upon his people, something that they cannot do for themselves. He will do it. He will move for his people when they turn their heart to seek him through prayer and through fasting. He will reward them in the open. What a blessing. What a blessing to know that if I turn my heart to God, if I seek him through prayer and through fasting, that he will reward me in the open. Lord, hallelujah. That's something right there, because nobody can reward you like God. Nobody can bless you like God, because he knows every single need that you have in your life, as well as he knows the desire of your heart. That's right. Even before you tell God about a need, even before you make a request known unto him, he already knows every one of your needs, and he knows every one of your desires. And he is a God who loves to bless his people. But again, we want to fast in the way that God desires for us to fast, so that we can get the benefits and the results that come from fasting. Notice again in Matthew the 17th chapter, just how powerful fasting can be. Because a man had brought his son unto Jesus' disciples, and they were not able to help this man's son, and they were not able to bring about deliverance to this man's son. And so this man comes to Jesus. I'm in Matthew the 17th chapter. He comes to Jesus and basically tell Jesus that I brought my son to your disciples. But he says to them in the latter clause of verse 15, he said, but they could not cure him. He said, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. They could not help him. They could not heal him. But notice that Jesus in verse 18 rebuked the demon. I want you to say, he rebuked the demon. What was the problem that the boy was having? Back in the first verse of verse 15, he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and into the water. Notice this boy was doing something intentionally to hurt himself. He was throwing himself into the fire and often into the water. Now think about that, because from a natural standpoint, if you fall into fire or if you fall into water, could be death. So here's a boy trying to do things that would severely harm himself, even to the point of death. But Jesus reveals that his problem is that he's demon possessed. Think about that. Think about how many people do things to intentionally harm themselves, and they blame their condition on everything but evil. See, evil is real. Evil can be to the point to where you can be possessed by a demon or demons. And it could be to the point to where you will act out in a way that you will be doing things that can ruin your life. Things that can mess your life totally up. If I can say it like the young people, you can jack up your life because you are demon possessed. And so Jesus had to deal with this demon. But thank God that Jesus could not only in the New Testament deal with demons, but thank God that he has all power to deal or to defeat the devil and demons. And he has given his children power and authority to deal with the devil as well as demons. But notice again in verse 18, and Jesus, the Savior, rebuked the demon and it came out of him. Notice Jesus got result. The Bible says that he rebuked the demon and it came out of him. He told the demon what to do. Listen, and the demon obeyed him. I said the demon obeyed him. He commanded the demon to come out of the boy and it obeyed him. He didn't ask the demon, would he come out? He commanded him to come out. You say, how could Jesus do that? Because Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew the power and the authority that he was sent into the earth realm to operate with. And so he didn't argue with the demon. He didn't fight with the demon. He didn't wrestle with the demon. He commanded the demon to come out of the boy. And the Bible said, and the child was cured from that very hour. He was made whole. He was free of that demon when Jesus rebuked it. But notice in verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Notice they had tried. They had tried to do the same thing that Jesus did, and it could not be done. You know, we have Christians like that, that will try to do the same things that another Christian may do, but yet they can't get the result that the other believer got. And sometime I'm going to show you why that can be the case. It is not like some folk think, well, God is a respecter of person. Well, God only has favors. Well, God will only listen to this person because he likes this person more than the other person. No, that's all nonsense. You have to get in the word. You have to get in the Bible to understand why things happen and sometimes why things don't happen. But notice Jesus makes it plain. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Look, notice the power of unbelief. He tells his disciples, one reason you couldn't do it is because of your unbelief. You did not believe that you could do it. And some of us speak to things, even demons, and we're saying the right words, but do we believe what we're saying? Listen to that. It's not enough that we say the right thing, but we have to believe what it is that we're saying. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. I'm going to say it again. You have to believe what you confess. You have to believe what you speak. You have to believe what you decree. If the Lord put it in your spirit that this is going to be the best year of your life, you can't just speak it just to be speaking it. Child of God, you have to speak it and you have to believe it. You have to speak it when trials come. You have to speak it's your best year when it doesn't look like it's your best year. What did Paul tell the church at Corinth? He said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You have to sometimes disconnect from things that you're seeing, which is only temporary, And you have to connect with the eternal God whose word cannot return to him void. Therefore, I have to have faith or confidence in what I say. I got to have confidence in what I speak. When I say I'm healed, I have to walk in healing regardless of what it feels like. And so notice he tells them they could not cast this demon out because of their unbelief. And like it or not, there are many of us who are not getting results, and it is due to our unbelief. But it's time to believe God. That's the good news. No need in crying. No need in pouting. No need in poor mouthing. You simply need to believe your God. And the Bible said, believe your God, so shall you be established. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. That's God's word. When you believe God, you're going to be established. You are going to mature. You are going to grow. You are going to advance. But notice he said further, when you believe not just any prophet, his prophets, so shall you prosper. You will do well. You will have good success. You'll have good success as a young person. You'll have good success as a married person. You'll have good success as a single person. You will have good success as a leader. You will have good success as a man. You'll have good success as a woman. Come on. That's right. You'll have good success when you believe. For he says, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Notice, when you're operating in faith, you're going to say things. No, he said, if you have faith as a size, or if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say, you will say. See, when you operating in genuine or the God kind of faith, it's going to change the way you talk. There are certain things you're going to be saying because you in faith that your unsaved cousin cannot say because she's not in faith. Hallelujah. But because you are in faith, you talk the way you talk. That's right. When you get in God, when you walk in the God kind of faith, it will change how you talk. It'll change how you talk. It'll have you talking to things. Things that are bigger than you. But you know, though it's bigger than you, it's got to move because you talking by faith. You speaking according to God's word. That's right. You speaking according to God's word. He said you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Lord have mercy. He said, you can do it. You can do it. You can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. You'll get result. Things are happening. Things are happening. Dismiss what you feel like didn't happen in time past. Look, God is giving you his word. And so it's time to shake off unbelief so that you can get your results, so that you can have what God has predestined for you to have. Notice what he says. It'll move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing, no thing will be impossible for you. Notice, when you believe God, we actually enter into the realm where all things are possible. All things are possible. But notice, one, they could not cast that demon out, according to Jesus, because of their unbelief. And I can't tell you how many times in time past I have not been able to do things, and I shifted the blame to people and to situations and circumstances. But if I just be honest, it was my unbelief. I didn't believe. I did not believe. I did not believe. And there are people, and this is sad, that will not believe God. And then when something doesn't happen, they'll turn around and get upset with God. Turn around and be disappointed, thinking that God failed them. God let them down. Child of God, understand, God cannot fail. Point blank. He cannot fail. There is no failure in God. There is no failure in God. God, who is God? God is his word. There is no failure in God's word. You just have to shake unbelief and believe your God. Believe what God is speaking to you. Even through this podcast, it is so important that you believe what God is speaking about you in this season and in this hour. It does not matter if your best friend does not believe. If you believe, you'll get the results. You'll get the result. But notice the second reason Jesus reveals to the disciples as to why they could not cast that demon out. He said, however, he's giving them a special note. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. That's right. Jesus said it was your unbelief. But no, when you're dealing with this kind, notice Jesus said, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer. But notice you got to put something with your prayer, prayer and fasting. Could it be that sometimes we're not getting results because we are in fact dealing with what Jesus called this kind, this kind? Notice Jesus reveals that when it comes to demons, that they're not all the same. Notice because he said, however, this kind, if they were all the same, it wouldn't matter. So Jesus is saying that when it comes to demons or the realm of the demonic, there are demons who are more powerful than other demons. There are demons who are more persistent, more diligent, more determined than other demons. And sometimes you come up on a demon that is very determined to cause a certain thing to happen in your life. Sometimes we are faced with demons that come to cause us to doubt God, to distrust God. And you can pray, but that demon is still warring. That demon is still fighting. And according to Jesus, there are times that when it comes to our prayer life, listen carefully, that you have to enter into a fast. You have to pray and fast in order to deal with what Jesus called this kind, this kind. But I think when I think about it, I don't think you have to limit that even to demon. There are some trouble that we experience that if we're going to have the right mindset in reference to that trouble and be able to see God in spite of the trouble, we're going to have to fast and pray. You're going to have to intensify your prayer life. And the way, one way that you intensify your prayer life is through fasting. Notice again in Matthew the sixth chapter that Jesus said, when you fast. But he tells us when we fast, we are not to fast like the hypocrites. We are not to disfigure our faces. We are not to appear to people to be sad, to be sickly and so forth, to be weakly. Because when you do, and men notice that, Jesus himself said, you have your reward. Your reward is that men saw you. Your reward is that men sometimes see you and will feel or think about you. Oh, you're something great. Oh, you are so powerful. Oh, you are so anointed that you're doing that. But notice what Jesus says again. You got your reward. Don't look for anything to come from him. You got your reward. You got the praise of man. You got the accolades of man and so forth. You got men honoring you and so forth. So you have your reward. That's not what we're looking for. When we enter into prayer and fasting, we're looking for the God kind of reward. We're looking for the God kind of blessing. And again, if we're going to get it, then we got to fast right. What is fasting? Just biblically speaking, fasting simply has to do with abstaining from food and sometimes water in order to devote oneself to seeking the Lord. It's a time again when you intensify your prayer life and your study of the Word of God. That's right. When you're fasting, yes, you are abstaining from eating, sometimes drinking, but you are doing so to seek the Lord. You are intensifying your prayer life. You are getting in the Word of God. Even Jesus, when he fasted in Matthew, the fourth chapter, Jesus said something so, so very powerful when he was speaking. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When you are fasting, you are living by the word of God. You are living by what God has spoken. You are living by what God is revealing unto you. And that is powerful and that is important. But we have to fast the correct way. You know, and in my close, I want you to read the book of Joel. Joel, the first chapter, and Joel, the second chapter, because he deals with, I believe, the type of fasting that we need to be. If we're not going to fast like the hypocrites, how should we fast? Pastor Cocker, how should I fast? How should I approach my fasting? Because notice, even in the body of Christ, we sometimes don't hear a lot about fasting, because fasting requires that we discipline our body. It requires that we deny ourselves. And sometimes, like it or not, there are many Christians who don't want to deny themselves. That's the reason some folk live a lifestyle that's contrary to God's word, because when it comes to denying themselves, they don't want to do it. They want to follow after what's popular. They want to follow after what's trendy. And you can't do that. Even Jesus said that there is a broad way and there's a narrow way. The broad way is going to lead to destruction. The narrow way is going to lead to paradise, going to lead to heaven, going to lead to God's eternal blessings. But understand, again, you have to be able to deny yourself sometimes, not to go down a pathway that's popular. And that takes something. But again, when you're operating in fasting, you are denying yourself. You are causing your body to come up under subjection and to be in line with the will and the word of God, which is going to be beneficial to you. It's going to benefit you. Fasting is going to benefit you. Abstaining, pulling away from certain things, coming away from certain things, shutting down the social media, getting off of the internet, turning off the television, loosening the hobbies, and bringing yourself over to praying, to fasting, to seeking God, to getting in the word of God, to listening to the word of God on CDs and podcasts, and any way in which you can feed off of God's word, listening to an anointed vessel is going to strengthen you, child of God. It's going to strengthen you. Even this podcast, if you will begin to pray, if you will begin to fast, and you will begin to seek God with all of your heart, you're going to find Matthew 7:7, Jesus himself said, seek and you will find. Find has to do with being satisfied or fulfilled. See, seeking comes with a promise. Hebrews 11:6, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, when we seek God, he rewards us. Amos 5, Amos told the people of God, seek God and live. Seek God and live. Don't just exist. It's time to seek God and live. It's time to live life as God has ordained for us to live. This is the year, child of God. 2017 is the year for you to have what God wants you to have. It is also the year for you to be who God has ordained for you to be. It is the year for you to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. But we have to fast right. Again, in the book of Joel, first chapter, second chapter, read both chapters. Read Joel 1, read Joel 2, because he deals with fasting. And Joel deals with the people and tells the people that they need to consecrate a fast. They need to sanctify a fast. And when we fast, we do not fast like the hypocrite. Our fast, when we fast, we consecrate our fast. We sanctify our fast. Which means, number one, our fast is holy unto God. It is something to be treated as sacred. Number two, to set it apart or to devote oneself to seeking the Lord. That's right. When we're fasting, we're not just abstaining from eating, because so many people will enter a fast and they're not eating, but they're not seeking either. See, you want to, yes, abstain from certain things, sacrifice, but you do so to seek the Lord. And you can't allow things or people to distract you from seeking the Lord. See, you have to maintain your vow of not eating, but at the same time, I'm going to maintain my vow to seek God with all of my heart. with all of my heart, because I recognize that's what it is. Understand also, when God is calling you to a fast, when he's calling you to seek him and to turn to him and to cry out to him, you have to also notice that that's a divine interruption. That's I like to call it God divinely interrupting your life. Listen, in order to help your life. He is not doing like some friends in time past. People have entered into our life. They interrupted our life only to cause confusion, only to bring pain, only to bring chaos. That is not what God is doing when he is calling you unto him, that you might seek him through prayer and fasting. He is a divine interruption into your life where God wants to tremendously bless your life. So listen carefully. It's not business as usual, but it's a time of sacrifice. Joel 1:14, he tells him to consecrate a fast, to cry out to the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. When you fast, sanctify that fast. Set that time apart for God. He also says in Joel 2, he says something else that is very, very powerful. Because he says to the people of God, notice in the book of Joel 2, oh, what a good scripture right here. Joel 2:15, he said, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Notice, Joel wants the people, blow the trumpet. In other words, that's a rally cry for the saints. Because often in Israel, when they would blow the trumpet, one thing it had to do with it, that it would alert Israel that their enemy was either preparing to attack them or coming to attack them. But again, it was a blow of the trumpet to alert the people of God. Sound the alarm, in other words. And that's what God has Pastor Cochran doing in reference to praying and fasting. I'm sounding the alarm. That's what I'm telling you. If you're listening to this podcast, text a friend, text a family member, email a friend, email a church member. Let them know about this podcast, because we're going to begin to deal with a number of subjects in order to bless God's people. Again, he said, blow that trumpet in Zion. Blow that trumpet in Zion. And so when you blow that trumpet, it's going to alert the saints of God. There's a rally cry. It's time to seek God. It's time to fast. It's time to deny ourselves in order to get direction from God, in order to get some help from God, in order to get healing, in order to get deliverance, favor, wisdom, resources, forgiveness. So many wonderful benefits. But again, we have to, when we fast, we have to fast in a manner that's pleasing to God. And in my close, study also Matthew 4, because when Jesus fasted in the wilderness, he defeated the devil. The devil in the wilderness represented temptation or evil enticement. Jesus defeated the devil through prayer and fasting. And he stuck to the word of God. So I'm encouraging you to continue to seek the Lord with all of your heart. Continue to cry out to God and understand the biblical principle of fasting, that it is powerful. Again, we see Jesus casting that demon out, telling his disciples that the only way you can deal with that kind of demon, you have to pray and you have to fast. But then we look back at the wilderness experience that Jesus had battling the devil, and he defeated the devil. He defeated him, saints. And I want to say to everyone that's listening to this podcast, this is your season and this is your hour to defeat temptation, to defeat evil enticement, to defeat things and people who try to cause you to get off course so that you cannot fulfill the will of God for your life. But this is Pastor Cochran on this podcast, and I am encouraging you. I'm letting you know that you can do it. I'm letting you know that God is with you, and he's speaking through me in this podcast for you to cry out to him. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, we are located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. If you ever in that area, stop by. We'd be glad to have you join us in one of our powerful services. Again, look us up on Facebook. We have different information that we're trying to provide that is encouraging as well as uplifting. You can also find me on YouTube. for some videos. But again, I'm going to tailor this podcast, and I'm going to begin to deal with different subject areas that I might be a blessing to people and empower people to be productive in every aspect of their life. Look forward to the next podcast where I'm going to deal with demons. I'm going to attack Satan's kingdom, and I'm going to deal with the area of the demonic so that people can be made free in every area of their life, and that saints will recognize that we have authority over the devil. Again, this is Pastor Leonard Cochran from Place of Refuge, Noonan, and I want to thank you for tuning in. God bless you.